and welcome to a special mini-series of Honestly, recorded during COVID-19. Like everyone, I found the whole experience to be somewhat of an emotional roller coaster, with the ups and downs sometimes coming on a nearly hourly basis. When pulling together the guests, I was keen to delve into some universal topics that had helped us through lockdown, but that will continue to feel relevant as we move onwards to a post-coronavirus chapter. This series has been made possible by our sponsors PayPal, who came on board at such short notice. For them, the key message is one of kindness, something that is so needed at the moment. One that can, on occasion, be made easier using the PayPal app. Whether it's preparing for a future haircut from your hairdresser friend, popping some dosh towards a takeaway for a pal who is at their wit's end, or, like we did, ordering a bunch of craft stuff from a local art shop who delivered paints and other bits to our front door on a bike. You can show your support and appreciation for someone by sending them money quickly and securely via the PayPal app. And now on to a little bit of housekeeping. We recorded these episodes in the safety of all of our homes during lockdown, so we've been heavily reliant on the mercy of the internet. Also, in the spirit of being honest and to paint a visual for you, my recording studio is actually the corner of my eldest son's bedroom. There is Lego underfoot, there are children wrestling off mic, and I'm sheltering in what can only be described as a fort made of pillows in an attempt to improve the sound quality. You can expect some technical issues as we battle with Wi-Fi strength throughout some of the episodes, but please do stay with us as we promise every episode has something you can take away from it. If you know skincare, then you know Caroline Hirons. Her no-nonsense approach to the category has led her to be named the skincare queen by her millions of followers around the world. With over 125 million views on her blog and 19.5 million views of her YouTube videos, there's no one who knows the industry better than Caroline. That's all well and good, but I fell for Caroline the day she messaged me whilst I was camping to say what was I thinking. She would rather have a smear test than go on a family camping trip. I love a person that knows their own mind, and Caroline was the ideal person to speak to amidst a wobbly week of lockdown. I hope she gives you the same fighting spirit that she did me. The name of the game of this podcast is Honesty, which is not going to be a problem for you, I'm sure. But I like to start with a quick fire round to get us both in the headspace. Are you ready?
Sure.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how popular are you?
Oh, God, I don't know. What kind of an asshole answer is that?
Take it for what it is.
Depends who you ask. And if you're asking my kids, it depends who I've given money to on the day.
So on a sliding scale.
Well, my daughter did scores out of 10 for everyone on TikTok the other day, just as a laugh.
Did she?
And her boyfriend got 11, my husband got 10, and I got 8, but I'm a good cook. So I've never let her forget it. I'm like, yeah, good to know I'm an 8 out of 10, boo. Thanks for that.
I've done, how old is she?
Oh, 18, going on 37.
But you've done 18 solid years of parenting of her, as well as growing her, and you only get an 8.
Get an 8, yeah. I did mention the whole pushing her out through my fanny and carrying her around and breastfeeding her, but dad gets the extra because he just gives her whatever she wants, so it's fine.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how fun are you?
10.
Really? Back yourself.
Yeah. If sometimes I make myself laugh, but that's more because I'm slightly nutty. I don't know if it's, I can be. It depends on the mood again, but yeah, I can be funny. We are a funny household.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how rebellious are you?
11.
With a very, very straight face. I wonder what that means, but I'm just going to leave it to my imagination. Favourite colour?
Red.
Do you have red in your home and in your wardrobe?
Yeah, front room is red. The room I'm sitting in now is red. My football team are red. Red and any shade of, you know, like a good neon pink I also like. I'm not really a wallflower.
Oh, really? I hadn't anticipated that. No. Favourite flavour of crisps?
Terrell's Furrows, the like crinkle, ready salted ones.
You can't go wrong with a quite straightforward flavour of crisp. While you can be wild in other places, you've got to be quite classic. What star sign are you?
Leo, can you tell?
Yes. And what are your three best traits?
Oh, loyalty.
Very Leo.
I don't know. Confidence. Takes no shit and stands up for other people. How's that?
Straight talking. Yeah, that would have been my one for you. I think you nailed it. I'm a Pisces, which means I'm just totally emotional and overthink everything. So I admire your very straight talking.
I don't overthink.
Is that always been the case, or have you taught yourself that?
Always been the case.
Do all your children have that trait?
No, my husband's an overthinker, and we've split that between the four
kids. Children. It's quite remarkable how quickly those colours get shown as well. I'm like, oh no, two out of three of mine are overthinkers. My husband is not an overthinker. Yeah. Have you learned to kind of manage that, or do you play the straight talking card and he does the overthinking card with
them? No, he's a straight talker too. It's just that he will dwell on things a lot longer, and I can see him thinking, and I go, get out your head, what are you thinking? And he's like, no, nothing. I'm like, don't lie.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you are what you are, especially when you get to the age of 50 and you've been together for 30 years, you know?
Congratulations. That is a monumental achievement. Has lockdown been good or bad for that?
Good.
Yeah. I've seen loads of people saying that, you know?
Quite nice to just be with your person, with your kids, and kind of, you know, able to sort of say no to the rest of the world when you want to.
Yeah, and you do realise, I mean, obviously there is an unbelievable amount of stuff going on, but in terms of the day-to-day admin of busy diaries, to have that alleviated is nice and also reassuring to think, oh, actually, we do kind of get on when you shut out the rest of the world.
Yeah, exactly.
So, of course, I've got you on here to talk about beauty and beauty in the context of lockdown. Talk to me about how you got into the industry.
Well, I mean, long story short, I went for a Saturday-Sunday job on the Aveda counter in Harvey Nichols 23 years ago, something like that, and fell in love with it on the second day. Well, I fell in love with it on the first day, and then on the second day, I was like, yeah, I really like this, and I'm also good at it.
So you were in Harvey Nichols, and then where did things go from there?
I went to a couple of other places, and I had run some Space NK stores, and then I met Sylvie Chantecaille, who runs the Chantecaille brand, obviously, and started working for her. And then it kind of turned into a different direction. You know, then I was sort of more in higher management, did that for a good 5-6 years, and then started consulting for brands after that. I mean, there was a little period after where I just thought, oh, I don't know if I can keep doing this working for other people. And so I started working for myself around 2008, which was when the first, the sort of the big US crash hit, the financial crash. Mm. And it was just serendipity. And I don't wish people going bankrupt on anyone. But for me, it meant that in the UK, where US brands were sort of represented in places like Space NK or Harrods or Harvey Nichols or Selfridges or whatever, they couldn't afford to staff it or to look after it day to day because they'd already had to go down to a minimal staff in their own country. And so I kind of put a few brands on retainer, and then it went from there, and I was consulting. So that's 12 years ago.
When did the blog start?
2010.
Were you one of the first kind of, I'm trying to think what the landscape was then.
There was quite a few sort of beauty bloggers around, but they were generally covering makeup. So a few of those people are still around in terms of, you know, Lisa Eldridge was an early adapter. Mm-hmm. Sam and Nick Chapman were early adapters. Jane Cunningham, British beauty blogger. Emily, fashion foie gras. Sasha, Liberty London girl. But in terms of skincare, I was kind of the first, to be honest.
And no Instagram then?
No Instagram, just the blog and Twitter.
That feels quite an alien concept now, because Instagram is such a hub in all of this. Or do you not see Instagram like that?
No, I think Instagram brought the new sort of the dawn of the influencer, the I word, as I call it. But for me, the blog is still my home planet. It doesn't get as much attention as it used to, but it's where everything goes. So if I do any kind of YouTube content or an IGTV or a sponsored post, that sort of thing, it's the blog.
The home planet, I like that. It's quite remarkable what you've built. Do you think there was a point when you went, right, I can see where the next chapter is, or has it always been a case of it growing and you going along with that journey?
Yeah, there was never a plan. I've never planned anything except having kids. Marrying Jim and having kids is the only thing I've ever planned, genuinely.
And the rest has happened. Like,
let's see what happens. And then, you know, if an opportunity arises, you're ready for it, or you make your own opportunity, more likely. Yeah. But no, I didn't. I don't think you can plan. If you set off to be in social media to go viral, you won't.
No, I can't think of anything that would stifle creativity and make you make the wrong choices more than wanting it. The thing that drives you is because you want to educate people about skincare, not because you want to drive followers.
Exactly. I mean, if you set out to do anything other than be your own self, then you're just going to be lost. Yeah.
in the context of social media, do you ever like lose your way when you get a negative feedback, or are you 100% able to water off a duck's back?
It depends who it is, and it depends kind of how loud and obnoxious the other person is. So if it's just you're a fat, ugly old bag, I'm like, dude, if I want someone to say that to me, I'll talk to my kids. But if it's something, you know, if there's someone saying something in a thread to me that I know will make other people following me feel bad, then I'll snap back.
Yes.
And shut them down. So
that's a difference, though, because you're pretty, reading between the lines, you're quite assured of yourself, but you feel a role of protection.
I mean, the arrogance of a troll is what makes me laugh. And they don't see it as arrogance, but the arrogance of a troll to me is the epitome of that kind of privileged, I'm going to tell you what I think of you because my opinion is really important and you want to hear it. And actually, I don't, and I don't care. And I don't base my opinion of myself on your opinion of me. So you're just kind of shouting down a tunnel, you know, and no one's listening. So
and worse still, they're doing it faceless. Like most of that is...
You know, I sort of say I don't really talk to internet ghosts. You know, it's like if you would say it to me in front of my face, then fine. You know, if my best mate wants to say you're a fat, ugly hoe, that's different. You know?
I admire that. I'm like that like 85% of the time. And then the problem is when other things in your life are challenging, then I'm less resilient. But also I'm still learning who I am, I guess.
Oprah said something that was life-changing, which I took a note of immediately. It was something like, at the age I am unapologetically who I am. And I just thought that is perfect. Like, I am absolutely unapologetically who I am. I don't owe you anything. I'm not here to answer to you, you know. And I once said, the only person who's allowed to say they're proud of me is my mum because I fell out of her fanny. Everyone else can take several seats. You know, my deathbed people I care about, I call them my deathbed people. If you're not one of my deathbed people, I hope that you like me. Don't get me wrong. I don't go through life wanting to be disliked. No one wants to be disliked. But I'm not going to lose sleep if you think, you know, your opinion's changed of me because I'm talking about racism or you're an anti-vaxxer. Denzel Washington also has another good saying that he taught his kids, which is you do what you have to do so that at some point you can do what you want to do. But you have to take the shitty jobs. The jobs I've had, Clemmy, my God. I mean, my husband and I have worked our asses off. And it's only as we got to our late 40s, he's 6 years older than me, so he was in his 50s. So my late 40s, where I am now, that we've actually been able to take off the accelerator a bit, and I've been able to turn down jobs and go, nah, I don't want to do that. You know, I don't do any sponsored YouTube videos anymore because I hate doing them. I can't read a script. It stops me being my natural self. You know, and I'm like, well, I can't do that, but what I can do is this, and I will talk about it on YouTube, but it has to be in my voice. And I didn't do that many of them to start with, but things like that where you can just go, yeah, I'm not going to do that anymore.
But you're right, understanding that you do have to learn your trade. You can do that because you've become an expert of it. And I think actually that's why in every decade this something switches a bit more towards it. Like once I'd push three babies out of my fanny, I literally changed the way I worked. At that point, I was still in ad agencies, and I was just like, "No, guys, no. I know my strength and superpower is. I'm not going to be told anymore." I mean, I've absolutely categorically failed to talk to you about beauty. I'm just going to touch in on it so that I feel like I've covered the title of the podcast. So you are the champion of the double cleanse, which just hadn't even, and morning cleansing. I just hadn't ever bothered with that.
You know, with double cleanse, it's if you're wearing makeup or if you're wearing SPF.
Yeah.
If you're not, then just wash your face once. It's absolutely fine. And then in the morning, you know, if you just have a teeny bit of product and then just remove it all with a flannel, you're just, you know, there's no point in using products at night to help resurface your skin and then waking up and putting makeup on stuff you've just tried to exfoliate. Just give yourself a quick morning cleanse. You know, it's just basic levels of sort of washing. And if you just include washing your face with that, then you're fine. You know, and all these celebs who say, oh, I don't wash my face in the morning. I think, yes, you bloody do, you liar. Also, you have a face full of filler and Botox. You have peels, you have lasers. So don't try and make people feel like
for doing something.
One cream in the evening and everything's fine and dandy, you liars.
So I've been having a conversation with myself about this because I think if anyone has been spending a lot of time on Zoom recently, the bad side of it is you have to spend a lot of time looking at your own face in a way that I've never done before. And I was trying to work out,
I am interested in injectables and I wouldn't have them for fear of judgment. And then I'm like, am I tying myself in knots with it? What's your top line on injectables?
I think if you want to have an injectable, do it. Why would you give a shit what someone else thinks about what you do to your face? And it's a female thing too. I promise you, if a man wanted to have some Botox, he wouldn't think, oh, but what will my mates think? He'd just go and have Botox, you know? And I think it's very female. It's very, we're waiting to be judged by our friends. We're waiting to be exposed as this person who doesn't think they're good enough. When actually all you're doing is, I actually just want to tweak this bit of my cheek, or I just want to tweak this bit of my jawline. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. You know, it's no different to me than dyeing your hair. You're already fixing things that you don't like about your appearance. And there's nothing bad about that. It doesn't mean that you think you're ugly, but, you know, it's just that, oh, actually, I think I'm going to tweak that because that's making me, when I look in the mirror, it makes me look tired. Or when I look in the mirror, you know, people keep saying, I love your hair with all the grey coming through. And I'm like, well, enjoy it because it ain't staying. The minute that hairdresser's open, I'm there at midnight.
I mean, it's quite a thing, isn't it? The roots are just getting worse and worse and worse. Again, to everything that we've gone through in the last 3 months, but also our wider conversation, we just need to stop judging everyone else. Everyone just do what works for them.
Do what they want to do and stop giving people your opinions of what they're doing. Because imagine someone saying to you, this is how I prefer you look. They think they're giving you a compliment. So I don't take the good with like, oh my God, I'm so amazing. Because that also makes it really easy to disregard the bad. If you just think I'm going to do what I do and look at my face and do what I want to do to my face, my body, my hair, then anything you get, compliment or troll, is just water off a duck's back. You know, yeah. I don't get excited if someone says, oh my God. I mean, yeah, I would hope people say things like your skin looks amazing because that's my job. But equally, if I was having a really bad breakout, I don't hide it. There's an IGTV of me picking a spot on my chin and holding a tissue to it because it bled. You know, I showed it all on camera because I'm not trying to do this vision of perfectness. How could you be, you know, have this perfect face when you're 50 and you've had 4 kids and you're knackered? Yeah. It's just not realistic.
Yes, because also, you know it. We all know what our bloody own face looks like. I've had trolling before where they've told me that I look scruffy online. It's like, yes, because I'm coming on with no filter and no makeup. This is what I look like. I actually think that is such a backwards insult because there isn't that many people who come on completely barefaced and with no filter. And I'm not judging them, but yeah, no. The reason you're seeing I'm looking scruffy is because I've got the confidence to show you.
Exactly. I mean, all of the IG, I did at the beginning of lockdown, I started doing IGTVs. And I think for a couple at the beginning, I used a tinted moisturizer. And afterwards, I was just like, oh, I just can't be asked. And so I've done like 20, 25 now, and they've all been barefaced. And
I was about to ask you that.
I'm talking about skincare, I can just apply it to my face while I'm talking to them, you know?
Skincare obviously has maintained during lockdown, but I've got a lot of makeup as well, mainly because I like makeup and I find it fun. But it's funny how it gets reduced to like 5 items now, and it's just like you suddenly look in your makeup drawer, similarly to my wardrobe and the whole concept of like going out makeup and going out clothes. Like,
so exhausting.
It seems so pointless suddenly, doesn't it?
And it'll come back in droves. You know, we'll have things where we're out to events again, and I am looking forward to maybe going out for dinner at some point and having something to eat that I haven't cooked.
Oh yes.
But I'm not like desperate to get dressed up. I want my hair done, but I'm not desperate to have my makeup done, put on something fancy and go to a big event. I don't miss that at all.
Hi, I just wanted to take a moment to mention the initiative from our sponsor, PayPal, who recognised how difficult it is for small businesses in the current climate, which is why they've launched their Pay Palette Forward campaign, giving people the chance to shout out their local heroes in the community. I don't know about you, but a sense of community really is one of the best things to have come out of this whole lockdown experience.
So I always have a bit where I ask the people of Instagram about a given topic, as I mentioned earlier, and these are some of their answers. I ask them if they use face wipes. 21% do.
Ugh, I thought it'd be more, to be honest.
What do you know what the national average on that is?
No, not up to date since lockdown, but too many people use them. And it doesn't clean your face. You're just smearing shit all over your face. It's utterly pointless.
No, it's such a... The only times I have tried to previously use them is camping, and you just actually feel disgusting afterwards. Have you had injectables? 8% have.
Yeah, the others are lying.
Do you think, You just don't know who. Well, sometimes you do because you can see it on their face. No one has to tell the truth to anyone, but you are doing everyone else a disservice.
Don't get me wrong. If you want to have something done and you don't want to talk about it, that is 100% you're right. I hate all that. We should talk more. We should share more. We should tell people when you've had work done. Why? It's none of your business. It's absolutely none of your business. If someone wants to have stuff done and talk about it, that's up to them. If they don't, that's also up to them. You know, I kind of come down the middle of defend anyone and what they want to do. You know, why should we talk about it more? When I put a post up, a woman said, I'm really disappointed to see that you've had work done. I said, well, don't look at the picture then. Sorry, my face, babe. Would you rather I lied about it and said, oh yeah, this is all skincare and here's a product I made. Please go and buy this and it'll give you a completely line-free forehead. I mean, I don't embrace Botox in that way because I quite like lines. I'm not bothered about lines. I think they make your face. But I had filler around my sort of upper cheek area and my lower jaw because I've got my dad's saggy cheeks. I just have. And I'm 50. I'm not supposed to look like I'm 25. So I had a tweak. Just talk about it. It's no different than dyeing your hair.
I go out more barefaced than I ever have. And I can't decide whether I'm letting myself go or whether I'm becoming more empowered. And it's a difficult line, isn't it?
I think letting yourself go is not showering and not caring if you smell.
Yeah, or not cleaning your teeth. It's so not true.
That's grim. Not washing your bum, not cleaning your teeth, not showering. Making other people smell you is letting yourself go.
Yeah.
Going out without makeup is just not wearing makeup. It's not a political statement. It's just, I don't want to wear makeup today.
I also asked Instagram if they took their makeup off every day and only 36% did. Shame on you guys.
30 bitches.
Also, it's not very good for your pillows.
It's just also you're going to get spots and your pillows are going to be full of it. It's just grim. Wash your face. Like if you take nothing away from this, tell people to fuck off and wash your face.
Yeah, always wash your face. Do you wear SPF every day? Only 43% did.
I appreciate it. People hate wearing SPF, you know?
I'm trying to be better on it. It's more just getting in the habit, I think. It's not that I don't actively do it.
And also, the key thing for SPF is finding one that you like. The problem with telling people to buy SPF, to wear SPF every day, is that traditionally we only wore SPF if we were going to a beach, right? And a beach SPF is different to a city SPF. So a beach SPF is thicker. You're not supposed to be able to wear makeup over it. It doesn't really absorb well. It's supposed to sort of be occlusive and sit on your skin and be like, yes, I'm wearing SPF. Look at me. If the problem is when people try and use that and acclimatise it into their day-to-day life in central London, for example, it's not the same thing. You can buy really sophisticated SPFs that go on like a serum, and that's the difference. Once you can find that, it just becomes part of your daily routine.
You used a word that I've never heard, but I really liked in that.
Occlusive, like a barrier. Like a nappy cream is occlusive. It prevents the wee touching the baby's skin.
Yes, but it's exactly that. I think when you think daily SPF, you've got like sunblock and sand stuck on your face kind of vibes. And they can be really light.
More sophisticated now.
I also then asked Instagram if they had any questions for you. They had many. I mean, you've got some very, very, very keen fans. Someone asked if you'd marry them. So that was quite true.
Are they available?
Well, I don't know, but you're not. So
no, that's true. Actually. I just keep my options open. You never know.
Yeah. You know, you made it this far. Maybe you could try something new. So what questions did they have? When should you start introducing skincare to kids? I thought that was a good question.
Depends on the hormones. The hormones will tell you. The same time that you notice they start to smell, the same time they start to get a few spots. You know, when they get hair on their bodies, and if with girls, generally when they get their periods, depends on hormones. Follow the hormones.
I have been meaning to keep a window of time, and I think actually, if I don't crack on with it now, I'm going to miss it, to talk to you about what the last 2 weeks and George Floyd's death and Black Lives Matter uprising has taught you about your industry.
That, well, nothing that we didn't already know. You know, those of us who have been in a long time and have been championing darker skins for a long time, you know, but then you kind of realize actually I could do more. So I did a live yesterday talking about how we're going to change what we do with my business and how we can sort of make a difference and support and amplify rather than come in like some big white savior and be like, I'm here to save the day. You know, that's not what people are asking for. They're asking for a seat at the table, which people like myself, Sally Hughes, Nadine, we've always champion that. In Sally's case, for example, with her Guardian column, she's always said this doesn't come in enough shade for darker skin. I've always said things like, if you have darker skin, you might find this is better for you for a brightening point of view, but it's not going to fix your post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation. Things like that, where you're just acknowledging that you have a reader that's more diverse than just a white woman. But I think it's been I feel like it's been a fundamental shift in the world. I don't think we're going backwards. We're not certainly going backwards. My industry won't be going backwards because there are so many of us now with bigger voices than the white men who run the boards, you know?
Yeah.
So when Monroe Bergdorf said, shame on you, L'Oreal, and we all chipped in, I know L'Oreal are having to listen to that, you know? You have to do what you can in your own industry and make sure your children are aware, you know?
Yes.
I'm hoping we are not going backwards from this, you know, and you can only sort of continue to support day to day and just hope that people didn't post a black picture and then everything went back to normal and now we're back to ads with white people, you know?
That said, I know I have been falling short in many ways and and that shows up with how I never thought I should have to explain racism to my children, but I know now that I'd got that completely wrong.
It's not enough to just be not racist. We have to be vocally anti-racist.
Yeah.
You know, and the only kind of people I've had being negative this week are wealthy white women with a sense of entitlement who are outraged that I am putting something on my platform that they didn't sign up for because it makes them uncomfortable. And I just think there's no going back from it. I'm not about to apologize. I'm not about to change what I'm doing. I don't give a shit if you stop following me. You know, in a way, I hope they don't, because I think some of them, because I link to, and it's not me doing the educating, I'm just the vessel who has a big platform. And I link to so much brilliant content from other people. And so I hope that they would open their eyes and their hearts and just close their mouths. But most, you know, there's been quite a few who haven't. And you just think, oh, you're on the wrong side of history, my friend.
And actually, if 2020 has taught us anything, if we think this feels uncomfortable, we're quite likely to be headed into it. Continued discomfort in the name of education and learning and progress for the next foreseeable.
Yeah, I just think you have to step up. To step up. There's no other way to look at it. This isn't a time to sit back and go, well, it doesn't really affect me, because it will affect you.
I've worked in the ad industry and seeing big brands that people love not behaving in the way that they should, and hopefully this is a time for them all to be called to question, as well as all of us on a personal level.
Yeah. Well, as we've been talking, L'Oreal have apologized to Monroe Bergdorf.
Have they?
Yeah, it's just gone live on Insta. The president of L'Oreal has contacted her and had a, well, I'm sure she's accepted it, and all power to her. It's not us that saved her. All power to her saying, how dare you, L'Oreal. So that's amazing. I've got goosebumps. Ugh,
it's happening. It's happening. We've got to keep this momentum now. What does the next 5 years look like for you? What does even greater success and happiness and knowing of yourself look like?
Well, my book's just been released, finally. It was cut short for COVID, which I totally understand. You know, we had to put it back because obviously retailers have to prioritise other more important things, as it absolutely should have been. And so I guess we'll see, because it's a very different horizon. Originally, the book was supposed to be out at the end of April, and we had a whole like new Hirons take on how to do a book tour that was going to be more like a skincare festival, which we will do at some point when we can have more than 3 people in a room.
There's not much of a festival with just you and 2 other people.
Now, and I'm not doing anything virtual. It's not the same. I want to see people and hug people. And, you know, and if that takes months and months, and that's what it takes. So, yeah, the book's out, and that's my, you know, my only book. At the moment, I have no interest in doing anything else. You know, it's done. As in another book, I'm doing lots of other things.
And the book, for people who don't know, is called...
Skincare. Hopefully we'll get to the point where it needs to go into reprint. I hope to sell that many. And if it does, then I'll be able to keep it updated so that it's more like a relevant Bible that's updated once a year, as opposed to having to rewrite something completely. You know, nothing's going to change that much. So there's the book. And then, you know, we have big plans to kind of really push skincare as a notion, not as the book, out to the wider public, because I still have people every single day on my social media saying, I've just found you through XYZ. I have no clue. Where do I start? Mm. So I don't think we've even touched the tip of the iceberg in terms of reaching people and helping them with their skin, you know? So much more about skincare, more about education on skincare, supporting the industry, especially supporting darker skin tones in terms of making sure the education is there. You know, our hairdressing industry needs a lot of work when it comes to dealing with textured hair. Mm. Facials, you know, I wasn't taught how to treat a black skin any differently when I trained in facials. I had to do it myself afterwards. Things like that, just really trying to back up what we're talking about now and carry that forward over the next few years so that it's easier for future generations, you know?
And also imminently you're going to become a grandparent, and that's going to shift everything on a personal level, isn't it?
It really is. So for us, I'm hoping that the latter half of 2020 is going to make up for the first half of 2020.
Yeah, and we can, none of us can second guess it. That is the one thing we do know. Going back to the title of this podcast, which is honestly, if you could have an honest conversation with one person, whether that be a troll, a celeb, a friend, a younger version of yourself, someone who's passed away, who would it be and what would you say?
Oh, God, I don't know. There's a few. I mean, I suppose I couldn't even talk about my grandparents without crying. That goes without saying. I suppose it's the odd person in the industry who, not because of just how they treated me, but of how they treated people they're also consistently treating people badly, I would like to have a few swift words with. I wouldn't need long with them, Clemmie.
No, you'd get there quite fast, I imagine.
I'd get my point across fairly swiftly. Really in that way, yeah. But I mean, you know, the thing with the grandparents in particular is just too hard to even go down, you know. No. That's the sadness of getting older.
I lost my granny, who was 100 in January, and there's a real thing that people say, oh, you know, she had a good innings. It's if you've been close to... Yeah.
And that's my rage with the way the government, in particularly here, have handled COVID. It's almost like the older people are sort of, oh, that's okay. They were old anyway.
They're the ones with the superpowers. They've done all the learning.
That gives me so much rage, I cannot tell you. I can't even.
No.
But yeah, I think the key for me is to always have honest conversations with yourself and with people around you. And honest doesn't mean aggressive.
No.
You know, we're afraid as women to be honest because you're worried someone won't like you. You're worried you'll upset someone. And that is how we have been conditioned, you know? And I think to step outside of that and be like, actually, I'm just going to have an honest conversation with myself. I don't like this. I don't like the way you're treating me. If it's work, you know, and furthermore, the way you treat other people is shitty. Just to be able to have that conversation. But it does take, it takes a lot. It takes courage. It takes power. It takes a fallback system. So it's just that part of the wider conversation in stepping up, being present, being honest, but also being honest with yourself, especially in terms of race and in the current climate.
You have to be frank with yourself. And we've become so easily distracted that we don't sometimes do that anymore. I always do a section where I ask Instagram to complete this sentence, if I am honest, I. And I'm going to read out some of theirs, and then I'd like you to do one if possible. Mm-hmm. If I am honest, I love picking the wax out of my ears, despise the trend for puffy sleeve dresses, don't like Madonna's music, have secret debt that my partner knows nothing about. God. And my one, if I'm honest, I'm wondering whether I can have lunch pre 12 o'clock.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I'm actually quite hungry. If I'm honest, I think a lot of current music that people think is the second coming of Jesus is very overrated.
Wow. She's done it.
Yeah, I don't want to name any or piss off any particular artist fans, you know, but I'm just like, really? That's what gets you excited? Okay.
Isn't that what happens generationally, though?
Oh, completely. You know, my dad's probably still like, well, the Beatles and the Stones were the best, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm an 80s girl, so there you go.
This episode is kindly sponsored by the lovely people at PayPal. And in an ode to that, I'm wondering if you've made any bizarre purchases during lockdown.
Oh, God, yeah. We've started doing the garden. We didn't ignored it for ages. Just like, yeah, like loads. Like
anything in particular?
No, we finally bought some decent garden chairs. We've only lived here 25 years. What's the rush, you know?
Oh, but it is lovely having a sit in the garden, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a big garden. We've got like a city paved bit in the back, but it's still nice to be able to go out and sit and be outside, you know, because my husband's type 1 diabetic. And he's been on lockdown literally since February.
Oh, wow.
So the garden, that's why we've had to focus on the garden, because it's the only place we let him go. And we've got him literally locked in.
And it's been a lovely patch, although you're going to be one of those people who start saying that we need rain. That's what happens when you get into gardening.
No, I'm hoping I won't be one of those people. I'm hoping we're not, you know, although when the rain came the other day, Jim went, oh, I won't have to walk the garden. So we kind of already are.
You've done it. You've done it. And you say it ironically, and then it becomes a reality.
You've totally outed me.
It's all right. It's all right. Brilliant. What a way to end. Well, on that note, I have been Clemmie Telford, and this excellent human has been Caroline Hirons, and this has been Honestly Podcast. Thank you for listening. Please rate, review, subscribe, and tell your mates all about it. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And that's it. Thank you so much for listening to this episode from our special mini-series of Honestly, pulled together in the strangest of times during the lockdown phase of COVID-19, a period of our lives that really has made us be honest with ourselves about so much. Though the topics have felt particularly pertinent during the pandemic, I hope the learnings stay relevant as we return to a new version of normal. And a special shout out to our series sponsor, PayPal. As a company, they've been at the forefront of digital payments for more than 20 years, allowing anyone with an email address to send and receive payments quickly and securely online or on their phone. Download the app today to send money to those making a difference in your life. And last but not least, I'd love to know your thoughts on the episode. Please do leave a rating or review, or if you want to get in touch, my email address is hello@clemmytelford.com. Thanks very much for listening.